Today's daf is Hafayin Gimel. We ended yesterday with a question according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the Shiraim are all burned for Mincha Kohanim, and that there are cases where we take a Kmitza and the Shiraim are burned. The question was, how do we know that in the Minachot of Seorim, the Minchat HaOmer and the Minchat Knaot B'Sota, where the Shiraim don't get, where we don't know what happens to the Shiraim, all we know is that you take a Kmitza. And according to Chachamim, anytime you take a Kmitza, the Shiraim go to the Kohanim. So the question was, according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that there is a unique case where the Shiraim actually get burned also, how do we know that the Minchat Seorim, where all it mentions in the Torah is that you take a Kmitza, how do we know that the Shiraim go to the Kohanim and they don't get burned? And then the answer given was that he learned it from this verse, four lines from the bottom of Ayin Ben Amabet, and the whole thing is that pasuk was unnecessary because we already know that the regular menachot that go with shemen or the dry ones all go to Bnei Aron because there's a separate pasuk that says so. So therefore, which is the Minchat Solet and all those other menachot where it said that the Shiraim go to the Kohanim, it must be coming to teach you. The Balul part comes to teach you about the Balul by Seorim, and the Chareva part, and from there we learn about the Minchat Sota, which is a dry one, and the one that's mixed with oil, which is the Omer. But both of those are done with barley, and it must be coming to teach about those, that the Shiraim go to the Kohanim. So now they say, wait a minute, how could you take that pasuk, v'chol mincha v'lula b'shem v'chareva l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh, and say that that's what it's going for? It's going for that. We need that pasuk to teach us something entirely different. L'chiditanya, there's a brayta that uses that pasuk for something else. Very interesting issue. It kind of reminds us about Yoma, when we had all these issues of typical human behavior and sometimes competition, things, issues, where we talked about the Goralot and how the Kohanim all wanted to do everything and they had to institute Goralot so they wouldn't fight about, I want to do this. This is a little bit similar, a little bit of a different vein. Minayin she'en chokkim minachot keneged zvachim. The Matanot, there were 24 Mishmarot of Kuna. If it was your job that week to be the Kohanim, and then each day there was a different family within the Mishmar family, there was different Beit Av that was in charge every day, and they would divide up whatever meat and meal offerings there were that day and everything that's supposed to go to the Kohen. So now, what if you want to start trading? You don't like meat. You'd rather have the mincha, or you don't like the mincha, right? You're laughing, right? That's exactly why I said it sounds like that whole thing in Yom, where they were fighting over who gets to do what. So you want to trade. Are you allowed to trade? That's what it means. Minayin she'ein chokim minachot keneged zvachim. You can't trade your portion of the mincha to get meat, or vice versa. Okay? Talmud lomar, why can't you do this? V'chol ha'mincha asher te'afe b'tanur, l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh ish ka'achiv. Okay? They learn it from this pasuk. It says, v'chol mincha that's burned. Okay, now I brought you, today's sheet is all pasukim, because I wanted you to see the pasukim inside. Okay, there's a whole section here in Vayikra, Perek Zayin. Okay, so our pasuk that we started with today was pasuk Yud. Now we're going to darshan starting from the verse before it. It says, V'chol mincha asher te'afe b'tanur, v'chol na'aseh b'marcheshet, v'al machva. We're going to see, they're going to darshan all those parts. Why does it say the ma'afe b'tanur, and the marcheshet, and the machva? L'kohen ha'makrivo ta'lo tiyeh, for the kohen that's working that day, it goes to him. V'chol mincha b'lula b'shem v'chareva, and all the mincha that's mixed up with shemen and the dry one, l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh ish ka'achiv. Okay, it goes to each of them. Notice it says, ish ka'achiv, right? That they should all be equal in this matter. So now they say that comes to teach that they can't start trading, but it has to be distributed equally. Okay, there's a bit of a debate about what the issue is here. Is the issue that it's bizayon kodashim? It's kind of a disgrace to start trading. It's almost like, I don't want this, right? It ends up bizayon, it ends up disrespectful to the kodashim that you're saying, oh, I don't want this, you take my part, I'll give you that. Some people say also that it doesn't really belong to the kohen. It's kodesh. So you can't trade, you can't do business dealings with something that doesn't belong to you. So while it belongs to you in the sense that you're allowed to eat it, but it doesn't belong to you, you don't have ownership over it, and therefore you can't trade it. It's a very interesting halacha. So now they say, Yachol lo yichleku menachot keneged zvachim. So now we might say, fine, you can't trade a mincha for zvachim. We understand that. Why not mincha and zvachim? This is like a good example of they're too far removed from each other. Because shalokamu tachtehem bidalut. Remember how it works? If you don't have meat, if you don't have meat of an animal, you're not rich enough to afford that. So you bring a bird. If you can't afford a bird, you bring a meal offering. Likewise, we saw cases where if you couldn't afford an animal, you brought a bird instead. But there's no option of trading an animal for a meal offering. Now, it's true. It's, you know, it's too removed. Like, it is true that in a sense, in the Olav Yored, if you don't have an animal, you could potentially bring a meal offering, but it's not one for the other. It really should be a bird. If you have a bird, then you bring it. So that's what it means, shelo kamu tachtehem bedalut. In other words, they're not one level below when it comes to a poor person. Aval, maybe what you could do, though, is yachleku menachot keneged ofot. But maybe you could trade a mincha for a bird, because they're closer, right? They do get interchanged here and there. Sharei kamu tachtehem bedalut. Therefore, to teach us that you can't do that either, Talmud lamar, v'chol anasa b'marcheshet l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. Okay, they're basically going to keep reading this pasuk since it says, v'chol mincha asher tefeh b'tanur, v'chol anasa b'marcheshet. It's as if each one is saying, you know, and if you do this, right, then l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh ish kachiv. It's all got to be equal. In other words, you can't start trading. So because it adds this other case, it's teaching you, you can't have minachot keneged ofot. Why is that? Shehalalu minei damim, v'halalu minei kmachim. Right? One is blood. One has blood and shchita related, or malika. Right? Not shchita, but malika, the bird. And the kemach, right? It's just flour. There's no blood associated with it. Which, by the way, makes it sound more like maybe it's an issue of bizayon kodashim. Because they're on different levels, and rather than that it's just a matter of it doesn't really belong to you, because this doesn't seem to indicate anything of ownership is the issue. So, I think I didn't start from the beginning here. So now we're saying, Yachol, sorry, this was already the intro of the next section. Yachol lo yechleku menachot keneged ofot, I'm just going back a bit. You might have thought that, okay, you can't do that. Why is that? Because halal minei damim v'halal minei kmachim. But what then could you do? Yechalku ofot keneged zvachim. But maybe you could trade birds for meat, animal meat. Because halalu v'halal minei damim. Therefore, tamud lamar v'al machvat l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. Okay? This is why I brought you the pesukim. I want you to understand. There's no pasuk that says va'al machvat l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. It's we keep just saying different phrases in that pasuk and then connecting it with the very last few words. L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. You follow? L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh is in pasuk yud, right? So in pasuk ted it says v'chol mincha asher tefeh b'tanur. V'chol nasa b'marcheshet v'al machvat l'chol makriv oto lo tiyeh v'chol mincha b'la b'shem v'chariva l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh ish kachiv. So we keep taking a phrase from Pasuk Ted and connecting it with the final phrase in Pasuk Yud, which basically says it has to be split up evenly. So we keep saying, it says this, it says that, it says that. That means each one is coming to include another or exclude another category. It's a little like a pratu klal, but it's not. It's
obviously not.
Right, what they're saying is the reason they specified all these things was to darshan additional categories. If you get the mincha, you get the mincha. You can't trade it. If you get, and even though it's all talking about a mincha, it seems strange, right? They're also learning, well, you also can't trade animal and bird. And you also, even though the topic here is all mincha, but they're basically saying this is all coming to teach you, everything goes to the kohen. Evenly in the kohen, you can't trade anything.
How does the machvat prove that animal and bird?
So that's what I'm saying. It's not directly related to the words. It's just saying the fact that there's an additional category here, it just keeps teaching you that there's another thing that can't be traded. That's why I said it's a very, it's where the drashot really have a lot of poetic license and flexibility here to darshan what they want. Okay, next one. Yachol lo yichleku ofot keneged zvachim. Okay, maybe you would say the reason you can't trade birds and meat and animal meat is because halalo asiyatam biyad v'halalo asiyatam bikli. How do we shech the bird malika with the finger? Right, we don't do shchita, we do malika with the finger of the kohen. And the other ones, the animals, are slaughtered bikli with a knife. Aval yichleku menachot keneged menachot. But maybe you could trade. You know, you don't like this type of mincha. You prefer the other kind of mincha. This one's tastier to you. So maybe you want to trade each of those. She'elu ve'elu asiyatam b'yad, because both of them are created without, or done, prepared without a kli. Talmud Lomar, now we go to the next phrase, which is already in Pasuk Yud. V'chol mincha b'lula b'shemen v'chol b'nei Aron tiyeh. Okay, you can already figure out that there's going to be one more thing, because there's v'chol mincha b'lula b'shemen v'chareva. So right now we're on the b'lula b'shemen. Now we're going to say, and also there's the chareva, that must come to include something else. The assumption here, the way I read it, is that it could have just said v'chol mincha, we already knew all the types of mincha. Didn't need to specify each type of mincha offering. So they're basically saying the repetition of all this must come to teach additional halacha.
It's person related, and here they're talking about the object. They're trying to say maybe let's try this object or that object, but you don't even have to have that discussion if they're saying, if it says specifically that it's meant for this kohen and not for another kohen.
You're saying that, I'm not understanding.
It doesn't matter.
The pasuk is focusing on that it goes to Aharon, you're saying, and not on the object. And the drashot are all focusing on the object of the mincha, like what you can switch and what the mincha really relates to. It relates to all sorts of other things. Okay, so now they say, I think it's the last one. Yachol, I lost my place now. Asiyatam b'yad, asiyatam b'kli, menachot. Okay, so now, once you say you can't switch a mincha for a mincha, that's the way I described it. You know, this one's a tastier type, and that one's a not, you know, you don't like that kind, because remember, they were all prepared differently. So I could see you can't switch a machvat keneged a marcheshet, the one done in the flatter pan for the one done in the deeper pan. Umarcheshet keneged machvat, or the reverse. Shezo ma'aseh akashim, vezo ma'aseh arakim, because they're different from each other. Aval, yichliku machva keneged machvan, marcheshet keneged marcheshet. Maybe I have one mincha. Now, why you got to trade it? I'm not sure. But I have one done in a machvan, and you have one done in a machvan. And, you know, this is classic. You go to the park, the kid always likes what the other kid has, right? Kid always wants the other kid's food, even if it's the exact same thing. So maybe you could do that. Talmud lamar v'chareva. Okay? L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. Okay, right. There is more. I forgot. Yachol lo yichliku b'kodshe kodshim. Maybe this is only in kochim kochim. Aval yichliku b'kochim kalim. Maybe you could trade kochim kalim because they have a lower level of kedusha. This would support the bizayon kodashim argument. Maybe that there's less bizayon of kodashim when it's already a lower level of kedusha. You don't have to worry as much. We could maybe trade. Talmud lamar ish ka'achiv. Okay, you didn't need to say those extra words ish ka'achiv. So ish ka'achiv. And they say, it's not just the words ish kachiv, but then it says, okay, you have to, this is why I quoted the next section. The next section starts off, Yud Aleph is, v'zot tarat zevach hashlemim asher yakriv la'ashem. Yud Bet says, im al toda yakrivenu. So what are they darshan here? Since it says, ish kachiv, and then chupsukim later it says, v'im al toda, they're going to darshan smichu parshiot here, korban toda. Is a korban shlamim, which is kochim kalim. Keshem she'en chokim b'kodshe kochim, kach en chokim b'kodshim kalim. They're basically saying, sorry, it's not from the words ish kachiv specifically, it's saying that since the section that appears immediately after is about shlamim and kochim kalim, we're going to say that whatever we mean in these psukim is also relevant for the upcoming psukim. So therefore, it's also true for kochim kalim, you can't trade. Now we're going to darshan the word ish. What does it say at the end of that pasuk yud? L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh ish ka'achiv. So what do we learn here? Ish cholek v'afilu ba'amum. We learned this already before, that even the kohanim ba'alei mumim, who couldn't do the avoda, also get the portion that's divided up for their family. Be'en katan cholek afilu tam. Okay, a katan doesn't get a portion because it says ish, and only a katan doesn't get a portion even if he's perfect, meaning he's not a balmum. Okay, so now that ends our question. That was a very long section just to get to our question. Who remembers our question? We tried to darshan from the word v'chol mincha b'lula b'shem v'chareva l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh imenu inyan l'b'lua shal chitim t'nei inyan l'b'lua shal sorim, that we took it to teach us that the minachot that are done with seorim, the shirayim go to the kohen. Now they say, but we used all these psukim to darshan this whole other halacha about that a kohen can't trade his portion away. So how we can explain this? Classic way of saying it: hahu mikol nafka. Okay, they learn the braita that en chokim comes from every time it said v'chol, v'chol, v'chol. Whereas the other drasha was focusing on the mincha b'lula b'shemen, the chareva, goes to Aharon. It was focusing on the other words of the pasuk and not on the word v'chol. So the assumption here that our drasha kept darshaning the fact that it said v'chol, v'chol, v'chol. It was sort of, right, which makes sense because it wasn't really focused on the mincha itself and the type of mincha. It was all about, that, oh, there's just these additional words, and it's darshaning from there. So now they say, wait a minute. V'ha fikte, didn't we already use this pasuk for some the word v'chol, l'chidu Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? This was a drasha in Samach Gimel Amud Bet that, actually, eluding me right now. The drasha of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda was b'chol mincha asher tefe b'tanur and b'chol mincha b'lu abashem b'chareva was to teach you that about the two that there are two different types of there's two sugim and you can't bring half Rikikim and half chalot, that the ma'afet tanur, if you remember, we saw this, it's because it says v'chol mincha b'lulav Hashem v'chareva is two types, the b'lulav Hashem and the chareva. So v'chol mincha asher tefe b'tanur, which sounds like one type, is actually two types, which is the chalot and the rikikim. Remember there was a whole machloket, can you bring half-half? And this was to support the shita, that it's two separate types and that you can't bring them together, half-half. So don't we need the v'chol there? And the whole drasha was, because it says v'chol there, and it says v'chol here, we do gzera shava, and what's true there, that it's two types, is true here, that it's two types. So that word v'chol is needed for gzera shava. We can't use the word v'chol to teach our drasha. So how do we answer that question? So the answer, Ela hahu mi v'chol. That's from v'chol, and this is from kol. Okay, so we have, right, as usual, we can try to say, well, there's different forms of the word. It could have said this way, it could have said that way, and therefore we can darshan all three things in this case. We have three things. Two things coming just from the word v'chol, kol and v'chol, and an additional thing coming from the text about the minachot. Ravina Amar, Achemi Detani Levi, Detani Levi. Okay, Ravina is now coming to bring a different source other than Chizkiah about how we know about the that the Kohanim eat the Shirayim of the Seorim also. So he says, "Midatani Levi, Detani Levi, lechol korbanam ulechol minchatam ulechol chatatam ulechol hashamam." Okay, so let's look at this pasuk. I brought it inside. This is from Bamidbar Yudchet Tet. Okay, so on your sheet you have it. Another pasuk that talks about what the matanot that the Kohanim get. This is what you're going to get from the Kodesh HaKodeshim, mina esh, from the fire. Kol korbanam lechol minchatam lechol chatotam lechol hashamam asher yashivu li Kodesh HaKodeshim lecha hu levanecha. So what are they going to do with this? They're going to darshan each term here. What is this coming to include that the Kohen gets? And from there, we're going to get to that he gets the mincha, the minachot that are made of seorim, and then it's going to be obvious from that pasuk that the Kohen gets the minchat haomer and the minchat sotah. So let's read it inside. Kol korbanam lerabot log shemen shel metzora. What is kol? The assumption is each one is coming to include something besides the pshat, because they're going to say the pshat is kind of obvious, like you get part of the korbanot. So what's it coming to teach you? That they even get the log shemen of metzora. Now, why do you need to teach that they even get that? Why wouldn't it have been obvious? If you remember, we saw before that it's called a korban. Salka da tachamina. Remember, he doesn't get the whole log shemen. What does he get? After they use the oil, whatever's left goes to the kohen. Salka da tachamina min ha'esh, katav Rahmana. Kamashmalan, kamashmalan. You might have thought, since it says in that beginning of that pasuk, you get from the Kodesh Kodeshim, from the fire, it's only things that are offered up on the fire, whereas the oil is put on the Metzorah himself, and it doesn't get burned. So you might have thought it was excluded. Comes the phrase, kol korbanam, to include even the log shemen of Metzorah. L'chol min chatam, here we get it. Since, what's l'chol min chatam? We already know that the Kohen gets all the shirayim of the menachot, of chitim, so what could it possibly be coming to include? L'rabot min chata omer min chat kna'ot. Right, you might have thought, it includes these two. Sal kadat hachamina, you might have thought, why would you have thought to exclude these? V'achlu otam asher kupar bahem. It says in a different pasuk, I didn't bring this pasuk, but it's a different pasuk in Shmot, where it says, the Kohanim get to eat anything where atonement was provided. Okay, Amar Rahmana, the pasuk says, they get anything where there was atonement. Now, these two menachot are not brought for atonement purposes. Hai lahatir ka'atya, v'idach nami levarer ka'atya. Okay, the Minchat HaOmer is coming lahatir, right? What is it coming? It's coming to allow us to eat the new crop. And the Sota, right, even though it's coming about a chet, it's not coming to atone for the sin, it's coming to determine whether or not she's guilty. So therefore, each of those is coming not for atonement purposes. So you might have thought that the Kohen only gets what comes for atonement purposes. Therefore, v'chom chatam comes to include even, lichom and chatam, comes to include even the menachot that come from barley. So there you have an alternative proof. Instead of saying, like Chizkiah said, v'chom chabala v'shem v'chareva, imei no'inyan lezeh, t'nei'inyan lezeh, it's a similar type of trasha, because both are saying, this isn't necessary, we already know this halacha. So therefore, it must be coming to include something else. But now, since we're already in this whole drasha, we're going to continue. L'chol chatatam, so the next phrase in that pasuk, l'rabot chatata of, to include even the chatata of, goes to the Kohen. Salkadat hachamina nevelahi, you might have thought it's a nevela. Why do we call it a nevela? Because it wasn't shechted properly, because we did malika, not shechita. Kamash malan, therefore, it comes to teach you, even that goes to the Kohen. It's not viewed as a nevela. L'chol ashamam. Okay, so what's this coming to teach? L'rabot, asham nazir v'asham mitzora. Okay, to teach you even the asham nazir and the asham mitzora. So now they say, what do you mean? Asham mitzora behediktiv be, ki kachatat asham hu la'kohen. It says, it's just like a chatat and it goes to the kohen. So you certainly don't need this pasuk to teach you that. So therefore, they get rid of asham mitzora. They say, l'rabot asham nazir ki asham mitzora. What they meant to say, l'rabot asham nazir v'asham mitzora, was l'rabot asham nazir like asham mitzora. We've seen this many times, by the way, where there's a phrase and one part seems unnecessary. So say, oh no, it's to teach you that that's like that one. Okay? So, salkadat achamina, l'hachshir ka'ate. You might have thought the asham nazir is coming l'hachshir. It's coming to allow you to start, to allow you to do the shaving. Okay? And to allow you, right, in other words, to allow you to cut your hair and to allow you to l'tamei l'metin. So what's the Asher Mitzorah coming to do? It's trying to, it creates this finality to your nizirut, that then it's not coming for a sin, right? An Asher is generally for a sin. This is coming to kind of, sort of like the Omer, matir something. This is also matiring the Nazir, not to have all the Isurim of nizirut alav. Remember, the classic Nazir was 30 days. And at the end of the 30 days, you would bring a set of these korbanot. So you might have thought lahachshir kate kamash malan. Therefore, it teaches you, no, this is just like a regular asham in the sense that the extra goes to the shiran go to the kohen. Asher yashivu. Okay, this is the continuation of that pasuk. Ulechol hashamam asher yashivu li. So what is this? Ze gezel hager. If somebody steals from a ger and the ger has no descendants. Okay, the assumption is, right, the ger, remember, when someone converts, they're no longer connected to their relatives. And also, he doesn't have, let's say he doesn't have kids, and all of his other relatives are no longer his relatives. So, halachically. So, this goes to nobody, basically. So, the Kohen gets, if someone stole from the ger and has to return the money, but the ger is no longer alive, then it goes to the Kohen. Okay, and you have to also add a chomesh to it. L'chahi ulevanecha, shelchahi ulevanecha afilu l'kadesh bo et ha'isha. So the Gezel Hager is Lechayu Levanecha. There's actually a machloket about whether, it's an interesting machloket here. Is this drasha only about Gezel Hager? So meaning, if someone stole from a ger, then the money goes to the Kohen, and he can use that money for Lechayu Levanecha. He can use it to marry, you know, to marry a woman. He can use it for anything, okay? The question is that only the Gezel Hager, or even the Kodshim that he got is actually kind of his money and allowed to do it? Now, that sort of goes against what we said earlier, that it's not his money, he can't trade it. So how could he be L'Kadesh Bo'at Eisha? So that's why many people think that this is only talking about the Gezel Hager, because the Gezel Hager has no sanctity to it. It's just that it was given to the Kohen. And therefore, it's telling you that, but there is actually a machloket about it. Okay. Now we get to another. That was all about the Kohen. Now we're getting to the Amar Rav Huna, Halacha of Rav Huna that we're going to deal with. Shalmei ha'ovdei kochavim olot. If an ovei kochavim says, if you say you're going to bring a korban shlamim, so what happens? You bring a korban shlamim, and you get to eat the parts of the meat that you're allowed to eat. You know, after you give what goes to the Kohen, you give what burns on the mizbeach, but you get to eat the meat. But if an ovei kochavim says, I'm bringing a shlamim, we consider that an ola, and the entire thing gets burned. Now, this is a very interesting halacha here. We're going to like the source for this. Ibait ema kra, the ibait ema svara. Some people say you can learn it from a pasuk. Some people say you can learn it from a logical argument. Ibait ema svara. Here comes the interesting one. Ovei kochavim libola shamayim. Very interesting line. In ovei kochavim, his heart is to God. Okay, the assumption is that when he says, I'm bringing a korban shlamim, he means to offer the entire thing to God. Now, why would this be? Okay, so Rashi says, Libo l'shamayim, kavanatohu, shiehe korbanatav kalil l'shamayim velo shiochlu. Okay, his intent is, it should all be burned. Now, Rashi, there's this, if you notice here, there's a Rashi Ktav Yad, you see that? Okay, this started in this parak. It's like apparently a different version of the Rashi, okay? It started here and it appears now in all the Misperek, at least. I didn't see how far it goes. If it goes to the end of the Masechet or not? I don't know. I didn't look. But right here, there's a Ketav Yad of Rashi, meaning a different version. And here it says, Bilibo LaShamayim, it's at the bottom half of Rashi.
How do they have a different version of Rashi?
First of all, there's always manuscripts and there's different versions. I didn't research this to see what exactly the nature of this Ktav Yad is, but I'll try to look it up for the continuation. It's the bigger question is not why there's a different manuscript of Rashi, but why the printer decided to print this other manuscript of Rashi. I think that's a bigger question.
What is it that's different from the ads?
Well, you can see, like here, he says something different. Now, there's a debate about whether this is actually different in terms of the content or not. But he says, B'libo l'shamayim, says something different. De'eino yodea b'tiv korban. He doesn't know, and Ovei Kochavim doesn't know the halachas, right? So, b'chi nadar, b'libo l'shamayim, nadar, hilkach kalil hen l'gavoa. The assumption is, he wanted to bring a sacrifice to God. So therefore, we're going to assume he meant an ola, even if he called it a shlamim, because he doesn't know the halacha. Whereas the first one said, his kavanah is that he wants to send everything up to God. Okay? So there's a little bit of a debate about whether this is one and the same argument or whether Rashi actually means something different here. Okay? So, in other words, is it because he just doesn't know, and therefore when he says he's bringing something, we're just going to assume it goes l'shamayim, which is almost like we're going to be machmir, because we don't really know what he wants, so therefore adif to do that. Or is the assumption that his intent is actually to send it all up to God? And some people, there's other people who claim that it's part of the non-Jewish theology, that the idea is that sacrifices are meant to go all up to God, and that there's nothing, you know, and it's interesting, there's a bit of a, I mean, obviously there's all different non-Jews, but there's a lot in Judaism that's, there's for, you know, almost like take on Nizirut, right? Our Nizirut is not forbidden to sleep with a woman, right, or to get married, whereas in Christianity, it is, you know, and there's a lot of this anti-materialism entirely. So that to bring a sacrifice and eat it would be antithetical to Christian theology. Whereas in Judaism, that's part of our religion.
But aren't they talking here more about pagans than about Christians?
So it's a good question whether they're talking about Christians or pagans. I don't know, because there's, they were both in existence then, and sometimes it's pagans and sometimes, you know, when, like in the Romans, it's all the pagans. but a little later.
It's not really a Christian thing either, like idea of sacrifice.
Right. So why they'd be offering sacrifices is a question. Again, in the Mishnah time, it was all pagans mostly, but in the Gemara time already, it's Christians. So you know, and this is Rav Nachman. Rav Huna, who's later. So it's a good question. So that's why this is a very interesting line, and you know what to do with it. What exactly this means? Libol Hashemai. First of all, it sounds very complimentary, right? We're not always complimentary of Ovei Kochavim here. You know, again, Ovei Kochavim is just a term that means non-Jews. It doesn't necessarily mean pagans. Okay, so anyway, Ovei Kochavim Libol Hashemayim, interesting line, and therefore we're going to say that all of Hashlemim are really Olot. B'Bayitei Makra, okay, here's another pasuk, it's on your sheet, B'Yikra Kafbet Yuchet, it says, Ish Ish Mibay Yisrael Minagera Garbi Yisrael Asher Yakriv Korbano, L'chol Nidrehem L'chol Nidvotam Asher Yakrivu L'Hashem Le'ola. And they say Ish Ish means even an Akum can... Even a non-Jew can offer up sacrifices to God, and it says, "Asher yakriv l'Hashem le'ola." So, kol d'mekarve ola lehave. Okay, and therefore, we're going to assume anything he brings is considered an ola. Matzi Rav Chama Bar Guria. But now we're going to have a few sources that seem to contradict this concept that is ola, that is shlamim is an ola. Ovei kochavim shitnadev lavi shlamim. Okay. So what do we assume right now? What should happen? It should be an ola. But what does it say here? Nitanan liYisrael, Yisrael achlan. Nitanan laKohen, haKohen achlan. If he wants to give the meat to a Jew, he can eat it. If he wants to give the meat to a Kohen, the Kohen can eat it. So what is the answer here? Amar Rava, right? Which seems to imply that it's not an ola, because it's not going all up. Hachika Amar. Al menat yitchaper b'hem Yisrael, Yisrael achlan. Al menat yitchaper b'hem Kohen, Kohen achlan. There's three options. A non-Jew can bring a korban for his own sake. If that's the case, it's going to all get burned. But if a non-Jew decides to bring a coin on behalf of a Jew to provide atonement for him, let's say he's friends with the Jew and the Jew doesn't have money and he says, oh, I'll pay for your sacrifice. So then it's a regular korban shlami. Okay? So, and then, and likewise for the coin. Next source that also seems to contradict. Matib Rav Shizbi, Elu menachot nikmatzot v'shiarehen lekohen. Remember that? That was the mincha. That was the our Mishnah from the beginning of the parak. These are menachot that we take a kmitza, and the rest goes to the kohanim. And what's mentioned there? Minchat of de kochavim. So what do you see here? That the shirayim go to the kohen, and the whole thing doesn't get burned. Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo kashya ha Rabbi Yossi Aglili ha Rabbi Akiva. Now he says this whole issue is all a machloket tanaim. So Rav Huna was siding on one side of the machloket. Let's read the machloket. Detanya ish. Matam alomar ish. Remember, that was where I said ish ish, right? Why does it say ish ish? It should just say ish. Matam alomar ish ish. L'rabot et avdei kochavim shenodrim nidarim unidavot ki Yisrael. Okay, they're allowed to bring nidarim unidavot. Asher yakrivu la'ashem le'ola, en li'ela ola. So it sounds like they can only bring a korban ola. Shlamim minayim. From where do we learn they could also bring a shlamim? This is obviously going to be the opinion that holds they can bring all sorts of things. Tamud lamar nidrehem. Therefore, it also says nidrehem. Toda minayin. How do we know they could bring a korban toda? Tamud lamar nidvotam minayin lerabot haofot v'hayayin v'halavona v'haitzim. That they could say, I want to bring a bird. I want to bring yayin. I want to bring levona. I want to bring eitzim, trees to the mizbeach. Tamud lamar nidrehem likol nidrehem. Now we're going to darshan likol. Right? That you can also say likol means likol nid, or to include all these extra things. Nidvotam, lechol nidvotam. Okay, the fact that it says nidrehem and lechol nidrehem and nidvotam, lechol nidvotam. Imken sounds very similar to what we started earlier in today. Imken, matam alomar ola. So the, according to this opinion, why does it say leola? If everything else seems to be included. Ola prat lenizirut. It comes to exclude one thing, that you don't bring the korban ola that the nazir brings. If he says, I'm going to be a Nazir, he doesn't bring the Korban Ola. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We're going to get back to that Nazir soon. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion is against Rav Huna. We disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and he thinks he can bring all these other Korbanot. Rabbi Akiva Omer Asher Akrivu L'Hashem Le'ola, Ein Li'ela Ola Bilvad. Okay? Just Ola. And that's Rav Huna is matching up to Rabbi Akiva. So now let's go back to this Nizirut. V'hai pradlan nizirut mehacha nafka. You learn that he can't be a nazir from there. Don't we learn that he can't be a Nazir from somewhere else? Mehatam nafka. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ish kiafli lindor neder nazir lahazir. Where do you see in that pasuk? It says, daber el b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael nodrim ve'en ovdei kochavim nodrim. What do you learn from here? That only b'nei Yisrael can become a nazir. Nodrim here means nodrim, to be a nazir. And an ovdei kochavim can't be a nazir. So we already learned it. So why would you need le'ola to exclude the ola of a nazir? So what do you answer? They answer, ime hatam hava amina korban hu delo leite. If you had just learned it from our pasuk, what would you have assumed? He can't bring a korban. Aval nizirut chala alayu. But you might have thought that nizirut would work. Kam mashmalan. Of course, the obvious question, and I saw an answer, but it wasn't convincing enough, so I'm not even going to bring it. But the obvious question is, why don't you just have the nazir pasuk, and then you wouldn't need our pasuk. If he can't even take on nizirut, then of course he can't. There's no question about the korban. So it's a bit of a question. Now that we have this machloka, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, which is very basic, right? Can a non-Jew bring a korban other than an ola or not? They're now going to bring some other sources and say, who does this source fit into? Keman az lahaditnan, like which one does this Mishnah go according to? This is a Mishnah in Shkalim. Amar Rabbi Shimon, shiv'ad varim hitkinu beitin, v'zeh echad mehem. Okay, there were seven things that Beitin was mitaken. There was some, I'm not going to go into the details, there was some takana that were mitaken because people were, that it had to do with, if you remember, when you bring a korban, you have to bring the sachim with it. So there was this thing that if you find an animal outside Yerushalayim, within a certain distance, there's a concern that the animal came from Jerusalem and it was really designated to be a korban. So you have to bring it. And then they were mechayev. If you found it, you had to bring it. And not only do you have to bring it and sacrifice it, but you had to bring the nisachim along with it. But then people stopped bringing the animal because they didn't want to be mechayev and the nisachim. So they were mitaken that you didn't have to and that the nisachim would come from the Bet HaKabbat. So in the context of that, it says there were seven things they were mitaken. V'zeh echad mehem. And this is related. That's why I brought up that case. Oveh kochavim sheshalach olato mimedinat hayam. We learned this already. If an oveh kochavim sends his ola from abroad, v'shilach ima nesacheha, and he sends nesachim with it. I'm sorry, v'shilach ima, right, nesacheha, kreivin mishalo. So we sacrifice the nesachim from what he sent. V'im lav, but if they don't sell, I'm sorry, they don't bring the money for the nesachim, or bring the nesachim, send the nesachim themselves, kreivin mishal tzibur. We have to take money from the truma l'shkah. It's an amazing halacha, right, that a non-Jew wants to bring a sacrifice, since all sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash have to come with some other offering to go with this nisachim to go with it. Therefore, from the public funds of the Beit HaMikdash, we have to provide for nisachim for this non-Jew's korban. So now we're going to say, Lema Rabbi Yossi Aglili below Rabbi Akiva. This sounds like it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili and not Rabbi Akiva, because, right, why is this only...
Rabbi Akiva says only Ola.
No, but this is an Ola. Shalach Ola Tomi Medinat Hayam. I guess the nisachim he wouldn't have him spring.
Does this mission follow Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who allows him to bring any kind of korban, including?
Right, this is only right. I guess the nisachim here are considered a korban. One second, I feel like I'm missing one thing here. I guess the point is, right, I guess that's the answer, really. In other words, why would he be bringing nisachim according to Rabbi Akiva? He's only supposed to bring an ola. So the answer is going to be no, because v'lo Rabbi Akiva, right? Men afilu tamer Rabbi Akiva, ola v'chol chavirta. In other words, when he says ola, he means ola, whatever goes along with it. The nisachim aren't considered their own separate korban. So I was having trouble explaining the question, because the answer is so obvious. The nisachim aren't a separate korban, it's just an accessory. It goes with the ola. But what about this one? Man tana lahadatana rabbanan, ezrach, okay, look at the pasuk. This is from Bamidbar Tevav Yugimel. I brought it on your sheet. It's the last pasuk in that whole section. Kol ezrach yaseh kacha et ele la'akriv yisherech nichoach la'ashem. What's kacha? I brought you the whole section to see. It's all talking about the nisachim. If you offer up, I'm going to bring this to the Beit HaMikdash, and one of the nisachim. So what do you learn from here? As the word ezrach means a citizen. Ezrach may be nisachim, ve'eino ve'kochavim may be nisachim. Okay, he can't bring nisachim. So it sounds like already this isn't Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili already said he can bring yayin, right? He can offer up yayin if he wants. Yachol lo tehe olato tu'unan nisachim. You might have thought his ola doesn't need nisachim. Talmud lamar kacha. But his ola needs nisachim. In other words, if he says, I want to bring a libation, a voluntary libation, we don't do it. But if he brings an ola, then with that goes the nisachim. So, mane lo Rabbi Yossi Aglili ve lo Rabbi Akiva. Doesn't seem to match either. So, let's explain now. I Rabbi Yossi Aglili, ha amar filu yayinami. Because if it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he said even wine. V'i Rabbi Akiva, ha amar ola'in midech rini lo. Right? If it's Rabbi Akiva, he said only the ola and not the nisachim. So, I baitem Rabbi Yossi Aglili, v'i baitem Rabbi Akiva. I baitem Rabbi Yossi Aglili, smei mika mehahi yayin. We can just get rid of yayin on his list. And as when he said Lavona and Eitzim and all that, it was everything except the yayin. And that's erase yayin from that list. And he didn't include yayin because he really thinks that a voluntary wine offering doesn't count. It wouldn't work for an Obey Kochavim. Or, like we answered last time, Yivaitema Rabbi Akiva, which we would say, of course you can't bring the sachim, but when do you bring the sachim? Ola v'chol chaverta, okay, and anything that goes along with it. Okay, we'll pick up with Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah tomorrow.